Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org. Hello, this is Michael. I'll be reading the San Angelo Standard Times for the week of Sunday, March 29th, 2020. I'm reading on Thursday, April 2nd. Here's our first story that was published today, April 2nd. 10th COVID-19 case in San Angelo is second instance of community spread, by Jen Guadarrama, San Angelo Standard Times. The city is up to 10 confirmed cases of COVID-19, with the most recent instance being community spread. As of 1:50 p.m. Wednesday, April 2nd, a total of 544 tests have been administered in San Angelo. Of those, 247 are pending, 287 have returned negative, and 10 people have tested positive, according to the city of San Angelo. The recent case involves a man in his 30s who had no known contact with a positive patient. No details about where the man has visited were released. The city has maintained those details could reveal patients' identities and are not necessary to keep the public safe. The fact is, you don't need to know that information, Mayor Brenda Guntner said in a video address to the city. The city and public health officials are doing the appropriate thing. They're making sure that patients are quarantined and that people who have been in contact with those patients are also being isolated. When a positive test is returned, the health department gathers information from the patient to determine who had contact with him or her. The health department then begins reaching out to those people and providing guidance on testing and self-isolation. City waives all late fees for San Angelo residents on their water utility bills for April, by John Tufts. Late fees for water utility customers in San Angelo will be waived for the month of April after an emergency city council meeting Wednesday. The decision to give residents a break on their water bills came April 1st after city council members voted unanimously to extend San Angelo's declaration of a local disaster. Late fees assessed by the water company from April 1st through April 30th shall be waived, City Attorney Teresa James said Wednesday. Officials with the water department said they wanted to ease the financial impact to residents to the extent they could, and thought this was one way to do that. This goes in line with also not disconnecting any customers due to non-payment, so that we ensure all customers have access to water for hygiene purposes, especially for cleaning and to wash their hands, a city official said. And now I'm going to read an article that is an overall view of coronavirus in San Angelo. I'm going to work from the most recently published article and work my way backward. Coronavirus in San Angelo, 10th case is community spread. Here's a look at how COVID-19, also known as new coronavirus, is impacting the San Angelo area. City reports 10th positive case in San Angelo, April 2nd. The 10th positive case of COVID-19 in San Angelo is considered community spread. The patient, a man in his 30s, did not have any known contact with the previous positive case, according to a news release from the city of San Angelo. No other details about the patient were released. Community Medical Center tightens visitor policy, April 2nd. Beginning Friday, Community Medical Center will only be permitting visitors in certain situations, a move meant to protect patients and staff. All visitors to the hospital are restricted, with exceptions made for those visiting a patient on comfort end-of-life care, one visitor of a maternity patient, one guardian of a pediatric patient. The COVID-19 hospital and clinic visitor policy is intended to provide additional safeguards and optimum protection for our patients, families, visitors, and caregivers. Due to the changing nature of COVID-19's presence in West Texas, this policy will be revised accordingly in response to circumstances. Tom Green County Library System ends curbside service, April 1st. Though our curbside delivery service has proved very popular, it will be discontinued at noon today, a Facebook post stated. If you have holds to pick up, get an appointment scheduled before 12 p.m. April 1st. After this time, they will not be circulating any materials. If you have items at home that need to be returned, the library will be closing all book drops at 5 p.m. Wednesday. After this time, please hang on to your materials until we can announce the library's reopening, the post stated. Do not worry about accruing overdue fines for these items. Fines for items kept overdue will be waived for the time being. You can use your library card number and PIN to access books and magazines in digital and audio formats at http://tgclibrary.com/audio.asp. San Angelo State Park ends rentals and programs, March 31st. The San Angelo State Park altered their services on March 31st, according to a Facebook post from the park. There will be no on-site transactions beginning April 1st. People will need to pre-register and pay for all-day use and overnight fees online before their arrival. They will allow fewer visitors in order to improve social distancing. Sites where more than 10 people can gather have been closed. This includes headquarters buildings, group sites, interpretive centers, and stores. Programs have been canceled, and there will be no equipment rentals allowed until further notice. City closes all public parks, playgrounds, tennis courts, and golf courses, March 31st. The City of San Angelo is closing all public parks, playgrounds, tennis courts, golf courses, etc., effective immediately. Dr. Vritas, Tom Green County Local Health Authority, will be issuing an order closing all public-private facilities as well. People may still walk at parks, river trails, and on the street, but must maintain 6 feet from other people and must not use those facilities to congregate. WIC no longer taking in-person appointments, March 31st. The health and well-being of our clients and staff is our top priority. Due to the growing concerns surrounding COVID-19, we will no longer be taking in-person appointments. If you need to apply or reapply for benefits, please apply online at texaswic.org. For questions, food package changes, classes, or loading a WIC card, please email us at wic@cosatx.us. Tom Green County jury trials canceled, March 30th. The Tom Green County courts have canceled all jury trials for April, according to a release from the 391st District Court Judge Jay Weatherby. Criminal bench trials will also not likely occur. Civil and family law bench trials and hearings can continue if it involves matters that the Supreme Court of Texas and the Court of Criminal Appeals deem to be essential. These trials and hearings will be limited to no more than 10 attendees, according to the release. Fort Concho shuts down public tours, March 30th. Fort Concho, 630 South Oak Street, announced the closure of the visitor center starting at 5 p.m. Monday, March 30th. The closure will continue until further conditions improve to allow it safe operations for both guests and staff, according to a release. The fort's tour and display buildings will be shut down. People are still allowed on the grounds and can find site maps by the doors of the visitor center. Fort staff will continue to feed the mules, keep an eye on the fort, and continue maintenance and repair projects. April events and rentals have been canceled or postponed. People can check FortConcho.com for details. City of San Angelo shuts down Sunset Mall to prevent spread of the coronavirus by John Tufts. The Sunset Mall, 4001 Sunset Drive, has been closed after an emergency city council meeting Wednesday. The decision to close the mall came April 1st after city council members voted unanimously to extend San Angelo's declaration of a local disaster. In the declaration, city council ordered all non-essential businesses and recreation facilities closed. This includes all gyms, massage services, nail services and salons, hair services and salons, tattoo services, piercing services, and face or body waxing services, and all businesses in which person-to-person contact is required in the performance of service, according to the declaration. All malls shall also close, the declaration stated. Officials with the Sunset Mall in San Angelo made a social media post Wednesday announcing the mall would remain closed until April 30th unless the city ends the declaration sooner. We will continue to follow the direction of the CDC and state and local authorities, but for now, Sunset Mall will be closed, the post stated. Here's a second part of this article. What else did San Angelo City Council pass? As part of its efforts to stop the spread of the coronavirus, City Attorney Teresa James added more guidelines to what City Council members previously approved in the original declaration of a local disaster. The first is to disallow any temporary health permits, James said, and stated this would eliminate the ability for vendors outside the city to set up temporary places to sell food and drink. James asked City Council to postpone fee increases and the fee policy adopted to take place in the current fiscal year until they can be reevaluated. For their third action to consider, James requested City Council allow City Manager Daniel Valenzuela be allowed to execute contracts between the city and hotels in order to provide shelter or basic needs to house residents who have been told quarantine at home but feel doing so could endanger family members. In James's fourth request, she asked the City Council to close pedestrian traffic to Gun Club Road, popularly referred to as the KOA Trail, in order to limit residents' ability to congregate in the area. Finally, late fees assessed by the water company from April 1st through April 30th, we're asking that you waive those, James said. Council passed the declaration unanimously, 7-0. Scammers using Small Business Administration's name to con during COVID-19 by Rosanna Aguilera. Scammers are using the Small Business Administration's, SBA, name to con small businesses and people during the COVID-19 crisis through phone calls, emails, text messages, and letters, according to a release from the City of San Angelo. From the release, note these items when being contacted by a potential scammer. If you are contacted by someone claiming to be from the SBA, suspect fraud. Emails from SBA or other legitimate government agencies will always end in .gov. There is no cost to apply for a COVID-19 economic injury disaster loan, and SBA will never ask you to provide a credit card. Do not release any private information, social security number, date of birth, etc., or banking information in response to an unsolicited caller, letter, email, or text. If you are in the process of applying for an SBA loan and receive email correspondence asking for personal information, ensure that referenced application number is consistent with your application number. An SBA logo on an email or web page does not guarantee the information is accurate or coming from the SBA. Check for spelling and grammatical errors in an email and be wary of clicking on any links or attachments. Trust your instincts. If something seems to be too good to be true, then it probably is too good to be true. For more information, for help with applying for an economic injury disaster loan, call 800-659-2955. City shuts down access to San Angelo's KOA Trail on Hillside Drive and Gun Club Road by John Tufts. City Council members Wednesday afternoon shut down pedestrian access for walking, hiking, biking, jogging, and congregating on Hillside Drive and Gun Club Road, more popularly known as the KOA Trail. The decision was made by City Council members on April 1st as part of sweeping new guidelines the city passed unanimously to extend San Angelo's declaration of a local disaster amid the coronavirus outbreak. The number of people in San Angelo who have tested for COVID-19 Wednesday remained at 9. The KOA Trail in San Angelo. Less of a trail and more of a road, the route circles around a hill near Lake Nasworthy and KOA Holiday Campground at 6699 Knickerbocker Road. From about 6 to 8 p.m. Tuesday, March 31st, as many as 70 vehicles could be seen parked along the dirt area to the left of the KOA campgrounds. San Angelo residents from ages 9 to people in their 60s walked along Hillside Drive. Birds chirped from the branches of nearby mesquite trees, now vibrant with green leaves, budding in the spring sunshine. Some residents jogged in clothing meant for exercise. Others strode along in blue jeans and cotton shirts. Dozens of dogs could be seen wagging their tails in the late afternoon as their owners walked them around the 2-mile stretch of road. People passing by casually spoke to one another about their jobs, scholarships, favorite exercises, foods they missed, and the funny things their children had said or done in recent days. The KOA Trail on Tuesday seemed to be a place far removed from the chaotic news cycle of the coronavirus outbreak. Even so, groups no larger than 4 people appeared to maintain their distances from others. As of 12:01 a.m. Thursday, access to Hillside Drive and Gun Club Trail was suspended to everyone not living in area homes that hug the shores on Lake Nasworthy. It's not always easy to do the right thing, but is always right to do the right thing, said Mayor Brenda Guntner, who began Wednesday's emergency city council meeting by quoting Texas Tech Chancellor Dr. Ted Mitchell. Guntner said city council needed to do the right thing for the health and safety of the San Angelo public by extending the city's declaration of a local disaster amid the coronavirus outbreak. We are asking for sacrifices, creating financial issues for citizens and their families, Guntner said. This is a hard time to ask for sacrifice, but this is our turn as a generation to do the right thing. Why City Council decided to shut down San Angelo's KOA Trail? The city shut down access to pedestrian traffic Wednesday after officials said they received numerous calls from citizens concerned about the number of people gathered near the KOA campground. City Attorney Teresa James said recent actions taken by city and health officials to close access to public parks didn't apply to the KOA Trail because it's a public road, not a park. We're asking that you close that road to pedestrian traffic to help control the number of people who are congregating there, City Attorney Teresa James said. Council members later passed extending the declaration unanimously 7-0. During their discussion, Guntner said residents wanting to ride their bicycle could do so at Spring Creek Marina, 2680 Camper Road. You may leave your home to take care of essential business. Businesses may continue to operate using CDC guidelines, Guntner said. Activities may be done outside the home, including walking, jogging, biking, hiking, bicycling, golfing, fishing, and hunting. Short of issuing a shelter-in-place order that would strictly limit people's ability to leave their homes, council members urged San Angelo residents not to congregate in groups outside their immediate household. Council members and public health officials said what the city aimed to achieve was limiting people congregating in large groups in order to limit the spread of COVID-19. Murder charge dismissed in Robert Lee shooting by John Tufts and Elena Edgen. A Cook County woman has been cleared of a 2018 murder charge in the shooting death of her husband. The court determined her claim of self-defense couldn't be disproved by the prosecution, according to court records. In June 2018, Jasmine Nicole Moreno was found in a kitchen pointing a gun at the body of her 30-year-old husband, Cisco Ray Moreno, according to an arrest affidavit. The murder charge against her was dismissed March 20, 2020, in Cook County. The State of Texas versus Jasmine Nicole Moreno. Several 911 calls were made on the evening of June 24th from residents who reported a shooting victim at a residence in the 800 block of Yule Street in Robert Lee, about 30 miles north of San Angelo. Moreno was accused of shooting her husband multiple times, records state, telling investigators she had to cock the hammer back of the single-action revolver with each successive round. She shot him five times, said Cisco Moreno's younger brother Jacob, once through the leg, twice in the chest, once in the arm, and once through the hand that went to his face. A Cook County grand jury indicted Moreno on a murder charge in July 2018, court documents state. In the early hours of June 24, 2018, Cisco Moreno repeatedly assaulted Jasmine Moreno in their bedroom by punching and choking her, according to Jasmine's testimony in the state's motion to dismiss. He tried to force her to engage in a sexual threesome against her will, she said. During the assaultive episode of the evening, she broke free from his grip, fled to the bedroom, and retrieved a firearm. He approached her in a threatening manner, and she started shooting, according to the state's motion. A witness who entered the kitchen after the shooting verified that Jasmine Moreno was in a cornered position, according to the state's motion. When Cook County Deputy Terry Crenshaw arrived to investigate, he was able to identify Cisco Moreno and Jasmine Moreno because he knew them on site, according to the affidavit. Crenshaw spoke with Jasmine Moreno, who told the Cook County deputy she shot Cisco in the kitchen. She said no one else was in the kitchen during the shooting, according to the affidavit. This was not the first assault, according to three prior reports to police, records state. Cisco's brother tales of emotional toll. I was stunned, said Jacob Moreno in a previous interview. He was full of life. He didn't have enemies. He was outgoing. He made friends everywhere he went. Cisco loved Jasmine deeply and strongly, said Jacob. They were always together, despite all their fights and domestic issues. Jacob noted the emotional toll left after Cisco's death has been difficult for everyone involved. I mourn all the time, not just for the loss of my brother, but for the loss of Jasmine and her family, Jacob said. We all loved Jasmine. We used to be close. We haven't spoken to each other much since then, though. We won't stop. Family of missing Cristoval woman struggles with health during search. Elena Edgen wrote this piece. It's been more than 30 days since the Bruton family last heard their daughter's voice over the phone. Anna Bruton, a 29-year-old Cristoval mother of three, disappeared near the Texas-Louisiana border on February 26th. Parents, Gina and Vernon Bruton, have spent hours in the wooded area near Kirbyville, a town roughly 130 miles northeast of Houston, with a population of about 2,500. They have scoured the woods with volunteers and law enforcement since they reported her missing February 28th. Their last contact with Anna came from a phone call February 26th between her and her father, Vernon Bruton. She was crying, according to Gina Bruton. Her boyfriend of 8 months, Rodney Blankenship, was the last person to see Anna that day. They were in Kirbyville visiting his family. Anna left her suitcase and personal items in his vehicle before running into the woods. The investigation into Anna Bruton's disappearance. Lieutenant John Cooper, investigator with the Jasper County Sheriff's Department, did not suspect foul play in the disappearance during a February interview. That has changed. At this time right now, we don't know what's going on, Cooper said. In early March, the family got some clues about their daughter's disappearance. We received an anonymous call March 4th that she was beat up pretty bad before she went missing, Gina Bruton said. The caller reported Anna had a crescent-shaped cut under her left eye. She didn't have that before. The caller did not say when they saw Anna Bruton. On March 14th, the Bruton family and a search party of volunteers discovered Anna's sweater in the woods. Her father discovered the lightly colored open-front sweater that evening, which Blankenship identified as hers to investigators. Her cigarettes were still in the pocket, Gina Bruton said during a March 14th interview. The sheriff's office and the Texas Rangers are continuing the investigation, according to Cooper. Anna Bruton has hazel eyes, light brown hair, possibly dyed red, weighs 115 pounds, and is 5 feet 5 inches tall. Other identifying marks include a tattoo on her left arm that says Brianna with a heart and a flower, a tattoo on her ribs, and another on her left thigh. She had medication for her PTSD, which she had not been taking regularly, her mother said. She has been known to go by Anna Lowe and Anna Mallory. She also has a methamphetamine addiction and had trouble remembering times and dates, her mother said. Anna Bruton's three children were removed from her care recently by Child Protective Services and placed with her family, the mother said. If someone has information, they should call Jasper County Sheriff's Office at 409-384-5417 or her parents at 432-352-8732 or 432-889-9004. Family struggles with health issues while search continues. As their daughter remains missing, Vernon Bruton's health is declining. My husband was in poor health before Anna went missing, Gina Bruton said, Tuesday, March 31st. His health is steadily declining, and I'm afraid to think of what might happen if we don't find her soon. Anna and her father were close, often speaking over the phone at least every other day, if not daily. Whether times were good or bad, they would talk, according to Gina Bruton. To not hear from her in over 30 days is just uncharacteristic of Anna, she said. None of this makes any sense. My husband and I are at a total loss. The family has offered a $3,000 reward for anyone who can get them in touch with Anna. Anna has 1,098 friends on Facebook. Someone, somewhere, knows something, Gina Bruton said. We won't stop searching until we find her. And now we are going to read an opinion piece from the San Angelo Standard-Times by its editorial board. Here's why Texas is infected with non-coronavirus political agendas. At the personal level, you might be using coronavirus as an excuse to avoid people you wanted to avoid. It's only human. But avoiding already unwanted social contact is no comparison to what is happening at the state and national levels. Your government officials are using coronavirus as a cover to pursue political and personal agendas that are doing people harm. For example, the Trump administration has stopped enforcing environmental regulations against companies because, you know, the virus, the economy, and all that jazz. Why is it okay to pollute? That's right. After about 50 years of advancement in protecting your environment, your federal government up and decided it's okay for an industry to pollute illegally if the industry thinks it's too expensive to stop polluting illegally. The thing is, those industries think it's too expensive in the best of times. Ask yourself, when is it ever okay to pollute? Hint, that's a rhetorical question. This decision is going to be especially harmful environmentally to Texas with its huge oil industry. That includes East Texas, West Texas, North Texas, and South Texas. If you're in Texas, you can't escape it. Even if you live way out in the country where there are no factories or car traffic, the fumes from the gas wells on your neighbor's property are headed your way. The cost of doing things right is never too high. If the economy is all that matters to you, look at it this way. A clean environment is a highly marketable commodity, and a dirty one is an economic liability. What's the old saying? Don't axe murder the golden goose. We recognize that Texas is dependent on its oil economy, and that many Texans probably cheer at the enforcement rollback. But even if you are, and always were, for less environmental regulation, using coronavirus as a guise for Trump to do so opportunistically, what Trump already wanted to do, is an insult to your sense of honesty and fair play. That's assuming, as we do, that you have a sense of honesty and fair play. It'll be interesting to see when they decide it's safe to start enforcing again. At the state level, Governor Greg Abbott has issued an executive order banning medical procedures that are not immediately medically necessary. Attorney General Ken Paxton decided that Abbott's order applies to abortions that are not deemed necessary to protect the life of the pregnant woman. This is an interpretation of convenience on Paxton's part, not opposed by Abbott, because extreme opposition to abortion is a big part of both men's political identities. Why suspend abortions? The coronavirus-related rationale is that it preserves medical resources. That's misleading. The overwhelming majority of abortions are not done in hospitals, and the providers don't wear the N95 masks needed by medical providers who are treating coronavirus. But one irrefutable medical fact about abortion is that the sooner, the safer. Paxton's blatantly opportunistic abuse of his authority should insult Texans no matter their stance on abortion. Today it's abortion. Tomorrow it could be an encroachment on some other right that you cherish, using the totally unrelated crisis du jour as an excuse. These examples of abuse of authority just go to show that you always find the best and worst people in a crisis. Police say San Angelo man tried to cash stolen check, hit post at bank while fleeing in car, by Alana Edgen. A San Angelo man has been arrested in connection with two forgery cases involving stolen checks worth over $800 total, according to an arrest affidavit. On March 26th, police responded to a bank in the 3400 block of West Loop 306 after a man tried to cash a stolen check and fled. The man gave a bank employee a personal check belonging to a woman, records state. An employee called the woman, who said she did not issue the man a check. The check was meant to go to a law group and was left in her mailbox for pickup, records state. The man drove off in a gray Ford F-150 and struck a concrete post in the bank's drive-thru area. Police reached the man via his ex-wife, who confirmed the man drove the Ford. The man admitted to being at the bank, but denied hitting anything, records state. Investigators set up a meeting with the man, who did not show up the next afternoon, according to an affidavit. They arrested him days later and charged him with an additional forgery. In February, a woman wrote a check for over $600 to pay a bill and placed it in her mailbox. While looking at bank records later, she noticed the pay-to line had been changed to read a man's name. That man was recognized by police on a bank surveillance video, records state. Police arrested Michael Brandon Crawford, 37, on suspicion of forgery, forgery of a financial instrument, possession of drug paraphernalia, failure to appear, and four city warrants. He remained in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of a $8,764 bond as of 2:30 p.m. Wednesday, April 1st. San Angelo Delivery Service starts giveaway for servers impacted by restaurant closures, by Rosanna Aguilera. San Angelo To Go has started a weekly giveaway to help servers who have been impacted by restaurant closures. With everything that is going on, we know that a lot of people have had their jobs and livelihood affected, stated a Facebook post by San Angelo To Go. Servers in particular have been hit pretty hard by the restaurant's dining rooms closing. For the month of April, the delivery service will give two servers $50 every week. Here's how to enter. 1. Tag your friends who are servers in the Facebook post mentioning the giveaway. 2. Comment with your Venmo or Cash App name as well as the restaurant you work or worked at. 3. Share the post on your Facebook page. Anyone who works in the restaurant industry may enter. Winners will be announced on Mondays. Reshare the post weekly to re-enter the following week's contest. San Angelo man arrested for alleged attack that involved a hand axe, by Rosanna Aguilera. A San Angelo man was arrested Wednesday, April 1st, after allegedly assaulting another man with tools, including a hand axe. On March 31st, San Angelo police officers were dispatched to the 500 block of West Avenue T after an assault was reported, according to online records. Preliminary statements indicated an assault occurred because of a visible injury to the victim's left cheek. The argument began when the victim asked the man to leave the house, which he had been living in for about 3 weeks, according to records. The man had mud tools in his hand prior to the argument escalating, records state. The man charged the victim and was swinging the tools when the victim threw a plastic portion of a doghouse at him to prevent being injured, records state. The man reportedly left and then returned, charging at the victim again with a raised hand axe. The victim threw a plastic lawn chair at him, which caused him to stop attacking, according to records. Arthur Pena Jr., 50, was arrested for aggravated assault causing bodily injury with a deadly weapon. He remains in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of a $65,000 bond as of 3 p.m. Wednesday. Now, our next article is titled, "Yes, Some Standard Times Journalists Are Being Furloughed. Here's What That Means," by Jen Guadamara, San Angelo Standard Times. Hello, I would like to wish everyone good health and peace during this time of uncertainty. We are living through a life-changing event that will be documented and evaluated for decades to come. COVID-19 has flooded unemployment lines, proved fatal for entire families, and created a wave of uncertainty in nearly every business sector that touches West Texas. Though our task is to document how these events unfold, our industry, too, is being impacted, including the San Angelo Standard Times. I'm not one to mince words, and I don't mind telling you that I'm worried. As of this writing, there are no bailouts to save the local news industry, and this very well could be a defining moment in print news's storied history from coast to coast. My hometown newspaper in Del Rio, which is not part of our parent company, Gannett, is cutting print days, dropping to twice weekly. And other newspapers across the country are being forced to make heartbreaking decisions, from cutting staff to trimming salaries, and in some cases, silencing the presses entirely. As an industry, local news relies on advertising from small businesses in our communities, and they are suffering too. So what does that mean for us, and you as a reader? First, Despite what some other sites might say, we aren't going anywhere. Since 1884, we've been embedded in this community, and that isn't changing. Our families and our hearts are right here in West Texas. We are going to make sure readers continue to get the information they need daily to protect themselves and their families. The three members of our newsroom who are being furloughed have been meeting to decide how we can best execute a dark time strategy. Each one of these journalists has set aside their own worries about the financial hardships this will cause their families and vowed to do whatever it takes to keep the public informed. During 1 week per month in April, May, and June, some of our journalists will go silent. Journalists like John Tufts, whose storytelling has taken our readers to Washington, D.C., alongside the works of a local talented artist. And those digging pushed school districts in Central Texas to rethink how they were leaving bused students in dangerous situations. Myself and longtime Standard Times journalist Paul Harris, too, will go dark for a time, but not at the same time. The remainder of our newsroom is not immediately affected by the furlough and will continue providing news daily. We are still here, and we will continue to document our world for the permanent record, something we've done at the Standard Times for more than 135 years. Our journalists are on the front lines of this story, keeping our social distance, of course. Most of us are working from our homes, scattered about San Angelo, Ballinger, and Mertzon. I'm writing this from a storage room off my garage, a makeshift office hastily created 2 weeks ago. Our downtown office may be empty, but our connection to the community and commitment to you is unwavering. We will provide free coverage about the coronavirus pandemic as a public service. We ask that you support our efforts through a digital subscription to GoSanAngelo.com. If not us, then support your hometown paper that is also struggling. The newspaper that carried your birth announcement, sports achievements, academic wins, and career advancements. We've embraced the move to digital. We understand that's the future. But there's something special about finding a grandmother's drawer full of newspaper clippings that documented some of the greatest moments of our lives. And the next story on the San Angelo Standard Times website is one that will give us a bit of relief from the news of the day. St. John's Sanatorium was first modern hospital in San Angelo, by Matthew McDaniel. Editor's note: as cities around the world fight to save lives amid the coronavirus pandemic, many of the heroes who have emerged are working on the front lines of our medical facilities. In honor of those professionals who have taken care of us in good times and bad, over the next few weeks, the Standard Times will look at the hospital history of West Texas. Part of the Shannon Health System since 1997, the St. John's campus was established as a sanatorium in November 1910, equipped with 30 beds and named in honor of Bishop John A. Forrest. According to historical accounts, the project resulted from a meeting of the San Angelo Business Club on February 16, 1909, when a local doctor named Parsons told the assembly that he recently had to send a patient 12 hours by train for treatment in Fort Worth, where the Sisters of Charity operated St. Joseph's Infirmary. The group was determined to do something to improve the situation, and they contacted the sisters to see if they would come to San Angelo, and $15,000 was raised by the townsfolk, with 400 donors contributing amounts varying from $1 to $500, with the average donation being about $25. 10 acres were purchased out of J. Willis Johnson's ranch, and a contract was awarded to the Willicky brothers to build the new facility for $35,000. At that time, the remote four-story building rising from the plain east of downtown San Angelo, was the only hospital between El Paso and San Antonio. It was so remote, in fact, that the Sisters of Charity didn't have too many patients that first year. Horse stables were provided for patients and visitors' transportation, and they had to have a barnyard, as many patients brought livestock as payment for medical services. The sisters originally came to San Angelo as educators, arriving on the third train to come down the new Santa Fe Railroad tracks, where they were greeted by the Standard on September 18, 1888. And here's a quote from that original story. The Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word, who had been expected here for some time, arrived recently. The people of San Angelo are already familiar with their mission here. It is not a selfish one, but one of love and zeal. They have come to labor in the education of your children, and to that end will conscientiously devote their talents, energy, and zeal. They will be ready to receive scholars on Monday, October 1st. In 1909, the sisters were given the additional mission of establishing a hospital. The early years at St. John's presented tribulations due to its distance from the city and the fact that few automobiles existed. But the sisters pressed on to develop and advance services offered at St. John's while maintaining care based on love and faith, wrote Jack Ward Bates in The Story of St. John's Hospital, published by Mulberry Avenue Books in 1985. When supplies were needed, they made the trek across the rough ground into town. Very few patients came to St. John's before the end of the opening year, but when they finally came, some came from afar. According to documentation, patients came from places far removed from San Angelo, including Mexico, Austria, England, Ireland, Germany, Scotland, Denmark, Canada, and other countries. The staff consisted of 11 physicians and 7 nuns who were trained as nurses. Major milestones at the hospital include 1918. X-ray equipment was purchased for use at the hospital 23 years after its discovery. 1930, sanatorium dropped from the name as facility is rechristened as St. John's Hospital. 1939, St. John's Hospital receives full accreditation from the American College of Surgeons. 1942, St. John's hosts an open house to showcase modern surgical and medical equipment. By that time, the hospital had treated 38,000 in the 32 years since the groundbreaking and had 26 physicians on staff. 8 of the 12 sisters at St. John's were registered nurses. 1944, first dose of penicillin is administered. 1949, campaign raises $50,000 to add 25 rooms. 1951, application for $230,000 in federal aid approved by the State Board of Health in Austin. General construction contract was given to Evans and Taylor Construction Company for $182,612. 1952, completion of second floor added 28 beds. 1953, ground floor completed. Housed admitting room, business offices, laboratory, X-ray room, blood bank, pathology room, cystoscopic room, and 6 beds. 1956, St. John's awarded $21,500 in grant funding from the Ford Foundation, $25,000 from the estate of Dr. Edward Hilarion Jones, and $20,000 from Mrs. Jones. 1957, St. John's receives full accreditation again. Major building program instituted because original structure did not meet fire-resistant standards. A fundraising committee secured a $230,000 grant. 1960, the new $515,000 three-floor air-conditioned East Wing was dedicated, and St. John celebrated its 50th anniversary. More than 20,000 operations had been performed, and 5,000 babies delivered. 1965, School for Certified Laboratory Assistants opened with the goal of alleviating the shortage of personnel. St. John's Jetto, a second monthly newspaper, is published, and the name is later changed to St. John's Messenger in 1969. 1967, need for a safer and bigger hospital continues to grow, and a third fundraising campaign raised $1,450,000. 1968, contract is signed with Angelo State College to provide clinical nursing experience for students enrolled in the Associate of Science Nursing degree program. 1970, dedication and open house for the completed facilities. Square footage went from 44,000 to 84,000 with 115 beds, most of the original building taken down. 1991, Quorum Health Group purchases St. John's and changes name to Concho Valley Regional Hospital. 1996, Quorum sold Concho Valley Regional Hospital to Shannon, which changed the name to Shannon Medical Center, St. John's Campus. Source, Shannon Health System. Domestic dispute between Miles' married couple ends with shooting, one in hospital, by Elena Edgen. A Miles woman has been arrested after a dispute with her husband ended with a man in the hospital, according to the Runnels County Sheriff's Office. Around 7:30 p.m. Sunday, March 28th, law enforcement responded to a shooting in the 700 block of St. John Street in Miles. Ballinger police and Runnels County deputies found a man with a gunshot wound to his right chest and shoulder area, according to the sheriff's office. An argument between the man and his wife led to the shooting, when the woman obtained a handgun and shot him, according to the sheriff's office. The man was transported to Shannon Medical Center in San Angelo and is in stable condition. Law enforcement arrested Bonita Quezada on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and transported her to Runnels County Jail. She was released Sunday on a $2,500 bond. Health official orders grocery stores in San Angelo to no more than 100 people at a time, by John Tufts. An official with the Tom Green County Public Health Authority issued six new requirements to combat the spread of COVID-19, one of which ordered all grocery stores in San Angelo be limited to no more than 100 people at a time, according to a news release. On Saturday, March 28th, Dr. James Vretis issued the following statement. All grocery and building supply stores located in San Angelo, Texas, shall by noon on March 29th comply with the following requirements. 1. No more than 100 customers at a time shall be allowed in the store. 2. Stores may only have one controlled entrance into the facility that is manned by a person whose responsibility it is to ensure no more than 100 customers are present at any one time. 3. This person will ensure that at all times customers are queued in such a manner that there is at least 6 feet of space between each person. 4. Stores shall take extra measures to sanitize common surfaces, including but not limited to carts, baskets, credit card machines, checkout lanes, restroom door handles, sink faucets. 5. All employees shall ensure they maintain proper hygiene through frequent hand washing. 6. Any employee who is exhibiting any symptoms of illness shall be sent home. Vretis said people who fail to follow the aforementioned health orders could be subject to prosecution under a Class B misdemeanor for breaking the Texas Health and Safety Code. On March 16th, Mayor Brenda Guntner declared a public health emergency in San Angelo and issued a news release in which more than 50 people gathered in one space whether in a public or private space, were banned until further notice. Before Saturday, March 28th, grocery stores and building supply stores were exempt from customer limits. The city's ban is more lax than guidelines provided by President Donald Trump, who encouraged residents to avoid gatherings of more than 10 people and said bars, restaurants, food courts, and discretionary travel should be avoided in early March. Other Texas municipalities have limited grocery and hardware stores to no more than 50 people at a time. Governor Greg Abbott said last week, such decisions are left to the leadership at the city and county levels, who he said are best able to judge the needs of their communities. He has resisted sweeping stateside shelter-in-place restrictions. Thank you for joining us for the reading of the San Angelo Standard-Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.